Blog Talk Radio.
Join Sam's Club and get incredible savings every time you shop. Check out the wide selection of fresh seasonal fruits and vegetables picked at the peak of ripeness. Find delicious oven-fresh baked goods and tender hand-cut USDA choice beef. Plus, hurry into Sam's Club by July 12th and get free items when you join. Get a package of berry chicken salad, a large rotisserie chicken, and 8 gourmet cupcakes, all for free. Stop by today for this limited time offer. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better in the club. See club for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
People every day trying to do things their own way, but everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on your advice. Make sure your words hold true, 'cause people hold you to your words that make people and people that make the world go. World. If your words are jive, then jive you are, 'cause those type of words, they don't go far. Thinking starts, word can buy, from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people, and people that make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your mind.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. Many of you know me as Mikhail Sahir from Indianapolis, Indiana, with my co-host today, Brother Mustafa Abdullah. Brother Mustafa, assalamu alaikum. Are you with me? I think he dropped his call. He'll be back, inshallah, here shortly. When my co-hosts come back and the other co-hosts that they show today, I will introduce them. Welcome to Words Made People. We have a very exciting program today with special guest, Imam Nasser Ahmed. We're looking forward to him to join us here shortly. And it's going to be a very exciting conversation, I do believe. We're going to talk mainly about a Muslim perspective of a Christ nature. You may think that to be and Christian language or verbiage, there is a strong connection between Christ Jesus, peace be upon him, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And so at this time, we have our brother back, Brother Mustafa. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Imam. Yeah, I lost for a minute. They knocked me out of the system, but I dialed right back in. I wasn't going to let that stop me.
Alhamdulillah, we wish you and the listeners assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Yes, sir. Ramadan Mubarak.
Yeah, this is, I believe, the 18th day. I'm at that point in the month of fasting where you tend to lose count. You say, this is the 17th day or the 18th day or this is the 19th day? You know, so we really get into the spirit of Ramadan, the spirit of sacrificing to please Allah, to learn self-restraint through taqwa, through God consciousness. And so that's our focus. It's not to lose weight. It's not to show how strong we are as if we super macho Muslim or whatever. You know, it is to obey Allah and to follow his guidance and to receive his guidance, to follow his guidance and to receive more guidance. That's the reason for this blessed month. Fasting, alhamdulillah. So we do offer to our listeners again know the blessed greetings of Rabbi Nahum Gwadik. We know that folks can be very sensitive, so if whenever you call in and as we involve our listeners with a conversation, just try and be in a room where your family or a lot of noise is not. Go into a room by yourself if you can, or turn the TV down, because our phones are very sensitive and they pick up the smallest of sounds. But we do have with us our special guest today, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed. Brother Imam, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Yes, sir, we're looking forward to an exciting program. But the format of Words Made People is that before we get into any conversation, we go to the best words for making people, and that's the Holy Quran. Then we read a short portion of the Quran first, and then we have a conversation on that. And once we have satisfied that for our particular needs, then we go into our general discussion. So what we had chose to read today was a portion of chapter 23, ayat 50. 2350. And we'll read that. I'll read the question that I'm really wanted to concentrate on that I hope will fit in with our overall discussion. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa ja'alna ibn Maryam wa ummuhu ayatan. And that is saying, and we have made the son of Mary and his mother as a sign, as a ayat, as a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And keying in on just that portion of the surah there, I think that would offer us a lot of information to just ponder on, just that part right there. What is Allah saying to us when he says that they made, we made, Allah made the son of Mary and his mother as a sign? And Brother Imam Nasser, we want you to join us in as well as we ponder on this particular ayat. Portion of the ayat, because we didn't read the entire ayat for a particular reason. This surah here is saying that Allah made the son of Mary and his mother as a sign. You have any comments you'd like to share with us on that, Brother Imam?
Yes, sir, if I may.
Yes, sir.
You have Christian and Muslim listeners in the audience. So
yes,
for them, I'm going to speak up between the two scriptures. And I'd like to begin by saying, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. There is but one God, regardless of what we call him, Elohim, Yahweh, Jesus, Allah. It's only one God, one creator. And all of the prophets and messengers were sent from that same one God. All of the prophets, and they all had the same message that there's but one God. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to go direct to the question at hand. And that question is, he's called a sign. In the New Testament of the Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word. This is the Testament, New Testament of the Bible. In the beginning was the Word. In our Quran, Jesus is also called a word, he's called a spirit, and he's called a sign. And this is because God never wanted to present to us race. God is not interested in a race, an Aryan race, or a Jew race, okay? So therefore, we find that all we have in any accuracy is not the picture of Jesus, not the picture of Moses, not the picture of Muhammad, not their flesh. We don't have any accurate picture of their flesh, but we have the accuracy of the word or the sign. So this is the importance of this. And the importance is this is the way to remove racism in the Christian religion, and this is the way to remove racism in the Islamic religion. And that is to take the image of man as God out and only leave the word, and it will remove racism. People trying to figure out all these problems of African Americans being killed in different parts of the country, and we were trying to tell him, Imam Muhammad helped us to understand that as long as you have the image of some white man or black man as God, you're going to keep racism going. So this is why it says, and he signed, because God wants us to see the flesh. The only thing we have from Moses is the Torah. The only thing we have from Jesus is the New Testament. The only thing we have from Muhammad is the Quran, which is accurate. But we don't have the picture of their physical body because God is trying to protect us from racism.
So you're saying that this tendency, and it's a very strong centuries-old tendency, is to try to see the prophets in the flesh, and that prevents us from seeing them as the sign that they are really to be or to.
What the problem is created is that we see God in some image, the image of a white man, or image of a black man, or image of a Chinese, whatever. It could be Buddha, what have you. Okay, and these images are what's causing the division in the world. I'm an African-American. God has been presented to me as Christ Jesus. So what does that create in me? It creates in me an inferiority complex. And what does it create in our patient? It creates in him a superiority complex. I hope I'm helping you listen. Okay? So in Islam, in the Quran, it says, let us call each other on the basis of equality, meaning that there's no pictures in the Quran of Muhammad as an Arab white man or an Arab black man. No, and you can't find a picture anywhere, okay? And you can't find the accurate picture of Moses, the accurate picture of Christ Jesus. So it meant that these images should never have been presented in religion. On the part of the majority of the masses, they're innocent. But they are manipulators in the world that use this as a means to divide humanity. It's intentional. We call those people Satan. But the innocent people, they have no idea what's going on. We have millions of black people in the church, and they have no idea that they're not worshiping God. They're worshiping a Caucasian. And until you get the Caucasian out of the way, it's difficult for them to worship God. And we were the same way when we were in the Nation of Islam. We had the same problem. We were given an image of Prophet Muhammad. I'm not saying that this was the Islam of Muhammad the Prophet. No. Orthodox Islam never had an image of any man. But the social reform effort in the Nation of Islam, we were given a man. And instead God came in the person of. Just meant that it was a message. Didn't mean it was God, but we didn't understand it.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'm having humor because when I was young, I believed in Santa Claus. Okay?
Right.
And now that I'm older, I know Santa Claus didn't exist. So I'm saying as we have these words of Santa Claus and Easter in the culture, we also have the same stories in religion. And it's time to get out of faith and grow up as rational thinkers in faith. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
So that laughing so that people can be offended and know that I was in the same condition, probably worse than most Christians. And thank
thank you for that. Because I want to add on to that, because this ayah that we're responding or reflecting upon, it also points to his mother. And now it's been assigned, but I wanted going back a little bit. Not only does the picture of as given to us as Jesus being a man that gives an advantage of one race over another, if we accept that, furthermore, if we accept that it gives a nationality, the Jewish people, an advantage over other people. Also, further, it gives the male race an advantage over female, because it's not just them, but the racial problem is in our face, but there's the other messages. If we do not see them only as a sign, we want to see them as physical flesh. Give us your comments on that, for as the giving the Jewish people an advantage because he's showing him as a Jew, and also giving the male gender an advantage because he's shown as a male.
Yes,
please.
These are the problems that have been caused in religion over centuries. We want to know what gender complex comes from, the superiority of the male, inferiority of the female, is exactly what you said, given God in the image of a male. And you know, originally, historically, if you go back in the study of man, God originally was not put in the image of a male. The first image of God was put in a female because the first one to take care of man was his mother. And then later on, the manipulators of culture took it, the image out of the female and put it in the male. Well, both of them are wrong. Okay?
Right.
Man needs a woman in order to have a child. But God is God because he doesn't need a womb to create life. That's why he's God. In order for me to create life, I need a womb. I need a wife.
That's right.
But God himself, he needs, and I need to say this for your listeners, because a lot of us forget. They say Christ Jesus is God because he was born without a father. And I'm saying this, and I hope your listeners, this is the teachings of Christianity. Most of us was born and raised in the church. I know the beautiful teachings of the church. Most of my family members are Christian right now. I'm the only Muslim in my brothers and sisters, 15 of us. So you know I can't speak against Christianity because they're with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm out there. But at any rate, what we forget in the teachings is that it says that they say, "What he's the son of God because he was born without a father." Now, if that's the criteria, then remember, Adam was born without a father, right? But he was also born without a mother. So if he had no father and no mother, he got to be greater than God. It's the logic. Yeah. We're not using logic in religion. That's the point I'm trying to make. Okay, this is not an attack. This is start using reason in religion. And we need to think about this. If I'm saying that he's the son of God because he didn't have a father, well, what does that make Adam, who had no father nor mother? So we have to, this is a new day and time. We have Christians that are just like Muslims. They're searching for answers now. They don't want any more fairy tales. They want greater understanding. Now, let's talk about Jesus and his mother. When he was on the cross and he was being crucified, Christ Jesus told them in the New Testament, he said, "Behold my mother." Now, he's on the cross dying, and he said, "Behold my mother." And most people gloss over that, and they don't explain it. And what it means is symbolism. Christ Jesus represented a symbol. Again, he's not to be seen as a blonde-eyed and blue-haired. He's supposed to be seen, as it says in John 1 and 1, a word.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the word of God. The word of God is Jesus. It is the word of God. Okay? Now, listen, if you crucify Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus is to change the word in Scripture.
Yes.
So if you do not have the original text of the Bible today that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago, then you have the crucifixion of Jesus. Not the flesh body, but the changing of the message that he brought. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Now, hold on now. Let's finish now. Wait.
Come on.
So now, who is the mother now? The mother is symbolic of the church. A woman, she gets pregnant with the life germ of her husband, okay? And a community of people pregnant with the word of Scripture. And as the mother's body grows and she becomes pregnant, so does the congregation grow with new members that follow that word. So it's symbolism. Mary, the mother, she's symbolic of the church.
So this is
what we mean in Scripture. I don't care if it's Bible or Quran. They both trying to address the same thing. They're trying to address symbolism. The question is, well, how come it wasn't put in plain language like you given to me, NASA? Why is it not put in plain language? It's because at the time, thousands of years ago, the enemy to mankind would use knowledge to rule the ignorant common masses. You remember in Europe, they said Europe was in the Dark Ages. So we all know what that means. It means that they didn't have knowledge. So God, in his mercy, he wouldn't put the knowledge in simple language, because if God would have done that, then the common man would have never gotten freedom. So God put it, allowed it to be put in allegorical or parables, so that only the righteous people would come into the understanding, and that the enemies of man would look at it and say, "Oh, look at this foolishness! Don't even make sense." You see, and they'd walk away from it. So the parables in the Bible is for the believing Christian. It's before the believing Jew. It's for the believing Muslim whose hearts are sincere. Then God will make them come in contact with what they're hearing right now. That's the purpose of it.
I just got
to say this right quick. This is the insights of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I just want to say that. This is not coming from me, Nasser Ahmed. I'm a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And he told us that Prophet Muhammad is the one to come to finish the works of Christ Jesus, finish the works of Moses, finish the work of all of the prophets that is before him, okay?
Right.
And so with that understanding, we see no enemy to us as a Jew. The Jew is not my enemy. The Christian is not my enemy. Satan is the common enemy of all human beings. Thank you.
I want to ask along with that, you made a very important comment that I think we want to spend a little bit of time on. You said the Bible is given to us now that's been changed, and I'm going to paraphrase you. You can correct me. Maybe it would be the crucified Jesus because it's been changed. And it's known by Bible scholars around the world that the Bible today, if there has the ability to reconstruct, put together the original. So this is my question. This is a statement, but it's a question. I'll put it in question four. Will the Quran then be the resurrected Christ?
That's a good question. And I want to say to the Christian listeners that I'm going to give them the Quranic explanation of Christ Jesus. And I want to preface that so that they would be comfortable knowing that I'm not giving Christian information. I'm giving Islamic information. I want them to know that we as Muslims believe that the Quran is the completion of scriptures before and the correction of scriptures before, because the scriptures before, they will tell you, the great scholars, you can go on the internet, and the great scholars will say they have lost entire chapters of the scriptures that came before the Quran. So I wanted to preface my remarks in that way. Now, in the one teaching, and I need to say this also, in the Bible there is light. In the Bible there is truth, and we need to understand that. As far as Muslims are concerned, we cannot be a Muslim if we don't believe in Jesus. It's a requirement in Islam that you believe in Christ Jesus. And I'm saying this again for the benefit of your Muslim listeners, to help the Muslims as well as the Christians. And when I say that in many Christian offices, I teach on college campuses and everywhere, they are shocked. I'm shocked that they haven't heard this before. So now, in Christianity, it says that Christ Jesus was crucified. And says after he was crucified, he was seen in the garden. And his disciples and other persons, when they saw him after he was crucified and after he was resurrected, the closest persons to him did not recognize him. This is in the Bible. I'm not making it. They didn't recognize him. And then they questioned him so much, he had to show them where he was, the wounds in his hands and sort of, then they said, okay, you are the Christ. Okay, so what is that telling you? It's telling you that those Christians didn't even understand that Christ Jesus was a word. They didn't even recognize the man who was in their presence. mm-hmm. when he was resurrected. Now, can you understand that point so far?
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, the Bible, it says he was resurrected and he ascended into heaven. This is the Bible teaching. In the Quran, it says that Christ Jesus was the word, the sign, or the spirit, just like it says in Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that he was not crucified. In the Quran, it says he was not crucified. It
yes,
says
sir.
That Almighty God raised him up unto himself. This is how the Quran puts it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this is the case, what it is saying now, that if this is the word, and we're saying the crucifixion of Christ is not the crucifixion of a physical body, it's the crucifixion of a word or changing the word of God or losing whole chapters of the word of God. I hope you follow me so far. When God first sent it, listen, when he originally sent it, it was pure. The word was pure. Then once it got into the world, it was lost and changed and so forth. So that's the corruption of the word, or the crucifixion of the word, or the crucifixion
yes,
of Christ. Okay? Now, now it's coming to me what I needed to say to you, Christian listeners. Christ Jesus says, I speak to you now in parables, or I speak
mm-hmm.
to you in parables, however you want to say it. So now that's proven my point. That he was not what you and I have been told. He himself, it says, I speak to you in parables. I speak to you in proverbs. So I'm saying it to you, Christian audience, please go back to the New Testament and you'll find that so that you'll understand that this Muslim speaker is your friend and not your enemy. So now it says that he ascended and went to heaven, right? In their scripture, he ascended and he went to heaven. But before he went to heaven, his closest disciples didn't even recognize him. Meaning what? That they were seeing him as a physical man, and they were supposed to be seeing him as the Word. Now, listen. As he ascended into heaven, it's telling you now, no longer will you have his physical body with you on earth. You will only have his Word. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
I hope I'm helping people. So his body, if he went to heaven, then all we got on earth is the word. So we shouldn't be looking at a body as a Christian. We should be looking at the word. Now, I'm going to take
yes,
you from
sir.
Christianity now to Islam. Islam says the same thing, that he ascended into heaven. But it says he was not crucified. So the Quran is telling us that Jesus was not crucified as a body, but he was crucified. His message was crucified because it was changed. The message of Jesus was lost. And the great scholars of Christianity will tell you that. You can go on the Internet, Google it, and you'll find it. I'm not making this up. Okay? I'm
yes,
not
sir.
Putting Christianity. I'm supporting the goodness that's in Christianity because I was raised in the church. And I love the early teachings that I had in the church. And those teachings that I had in the church are the same teachings I have in the mosque. But the difference is that I don't have a racial image of a man as God. That's the freedom that
yes,
I have.
Sir.
Now, if Jesus went to heaven, listen now, if he went to heaven and he was a word, so it means the word went to heaven. The
yes,
word
sir.
That was changed and crucified had to be purified all over again. So that's the ascension of Jesus to heaven or the ascension of the word to heaven. And so I'm going to say this to you listeners. You have, I'm saying it quickly, I'm going to let you share with me. You had Elijah, he went to heaven in a fiery chariot. You have Moses in here in heaven. So you have the prophets in heaven. All of the prophets are in heaven. Muhammad, the last of all of the prophets that God sent, he also went up to heaven. But he didn't go to heaven directly. Muhammad left Mecca, where he was born, and he went from Mecca to Jerusalem, which is the holy place of the Jews, the holiest place of the Christian. And Muhammad going from Mecca as a Muslim to Jerusalem was a sign to us that he respected the prophets that were before him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was their brother, and we're not to see them as enemies. And then from Jerusalem, Muhammad the prophet ascended into heaven with the other prophets. Now, I'm saying this for the Christians. They don't know this. So Muhammad, he couldn't ascend to heaven until he first went to the you Christians, to your sacred place, to the Jews, to your sacred place, and from your sacred place, then he went to heaven, not straight from Mecca. And then when he went to heaven, he got the word that Jesus Christ had that now been cleaned up. And in the Quran it says, follow the light that is sent down with him. And the reason why I'm saying that, because Jesus said that I'm the light of the world as long as I am in the world. That is the New Testament. So if Jesus ascended into heaven, it means the light is in heaven and the world is in darkness. So Muhammad goes into heaven and get that light of Christ Jesus and bring it back down. So yes, the word is the Quran, and the Quran coming back down that Jesus was the word, it is the return of Jesus Christ. Yes, to answer your question about this, but I had to shake it.
Yes, sir.
And listen, W.D. Muhammad, tell you, look, it's not me, it's from Muhammad the Prophet. You see?
Alhamdulillah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, thank you.
You know, let me say this.
You listeners, Mikhail has been twisting my arm to get on this radio program for at least 2 years. And it's important to say this. So don't be giving me no hand claps. He deserves a hand clap. This man has built this station. The respect for this station is like building a house. And all I'm bringing is the curtains, okay? That's all. So we thank God for him and his guests that he have on many women that have really helped us all. You know, the Christian community, the Jewish community, the Muslim community that have been listening to him over the years have been really, really helped by him. So I needed to get that shout out, as the young people say.
Let me say this for the shout out. You bought more than the curtains that you bought the table set and to serve the Last Supper on, brother, because you really laying it out there. Alhamdulillah. Now, normally during the Quran reading part, we don't invite our listeners to ask questions, but you share some wonderful information. So if any of our listeners want to press 1 on their phone to ask a question on this portion of the program. We haven't gotten into our main part yet. Maybe it is the main part because the Quran is the main book. But if any of our listeners wish to press 1 and to ask a question on this part of the Quran reading, please do. But you can ask now, you can ask later. But we thank Brother Imam Nasser Ahmed for sharing what he has shared, and there's so much more. I do want to mention, because you're going to be doing a Ramadan session next week, right? Correct. In Washington, D.C., in Masjid Muhammad?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, so we wanted to make sure people knew about that. There may be those listeners who may be in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area that may want to come over. And so if you go to my Facebook page, for those who are on Facebook, Brother Imam Lyndon Bilal sent me the link, and you can click on that link or go to the Masjid Muhammad's website. I think it's called the Nation's Mosque, if I got it right. If not, Brother Lyndon Bilal will correct me. And go to their webpage, and they can register for the Ramadan session that you're doing next week in Washington, D.C. Let's go to our next portion, which is really a segue. And I'm going to ask for you all's patience as I read some quotes from Imam W.D. Muhammad's last Jummah that he done with us in Detroit. And I tried to find the audio because that's always better, but I couldn't find the audio. So if you can just give me a couple of minutes to read some two quotes. It may take me about 2 or 3 minutes to read this because I want to be really careful and really slow. And then we will begin our conversation with Imam Nasser Ahmed about the Christ nature. And I'm sure he'll come. If he does, he's able to connect the language of the Quran and the Bible together. But let me read this here. This is from the August 29th, 2008 Muslim Convention Jummah prayer, Friday service, given by Imam Muhammad. And it reads here, it says, the language uncovering the mystery of Christ Jesus in the Quran is explaining the mystery of Christ Jesus in the Bible. So we are to see Christ Jesus as the model directing the people to have faith and belief in Christ Jesus and in themselves, because he did not say that Christ was only in him. He said, I in the Father in me, and he said, and I in you. So all Christians who were taught by their learned leaders, they were consciously or unconsciously that we all who say we follow Christ Jesus should be trying in our lives as believers to be Christ-like, and that all of us have the Christ principle in us. It is inherent. In fact, the Muhammad's model is in all of us. He did not separate himself from Christ Jesus in pointing to the people as having what he had also in himself, because he said, surely I am immortal like you. So he, the Muhammad prophet, is saying the same thing that Christ Jesus said when he said, I in you and Christ in you. He goes on to say, Muhammad said, I am as immortal, meaning that whatever I am as immortal, the possibility for that is also in you. All human beings are created by one creator, and they have the inherent nature to inherit the excellent model that God wants in all of us. We get it by inheritance also. So Allah did not give us model of human excellence and usul hasana to follow. That is impossible for us. Rather, he gave us a model in the Prophet Muhammad to follow that is inherently our property also. It is the property also of our own nature and creation. He says, aren't we one human flesh? Aren't we all one human flesh, including the best of our leaders? Aren't we all one human flesh, prophets, the messengers of God? If they are mortal, we all belong to the same and one human flesh that God created when he created Adam. And we are all extensions of that creation that God made when he created Adam. Adam is not passed away. He is in all of us. And if Adam has a possibility to become Christ, then that possibility also is in all of us. So let us continue to be, so let us not continue to be burdened by mysteries. This is the time of transparency for religious people. We should not be burdened by mysteries. It is time for all to come with Prophet Muhammad and before Prophet Jesus were established to take us. It is time to be there now. All the prophecies point to this time. This is the fulfillment of all the great issues in Scripture. When will time come? If not now. He said, never. It won't come now, it never come. He said, this is the time. And all the signs point to this being the time. All the signs in Scripture and all the signs in the great working that we see in the world to bring man home to his destiny for his human excellence. So this is a quote here that Imam Muhammad shared during a Jummah khutbah. And I'm going to read just one more so we can go ahead. This one here is much shorter. He says, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that he was sent expressly to do what? Answer, to establish good character. If we remain in touch with the inherent movement in our soul, in our mind, in our whole life of human excellence, we will constantly show growth and improvement in human character. When Dr. Martin Luther King said he hoped, he believed, he expected a day would come, he Place your faith in it, where no man will be judged by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. Isn't that what he said? Was not he in line with the excellent model of Christ Jesus and Muhammad? Yes, he was. He was speaking from that essence, his Christ. He was speaking from his Christ essence. He was speaking from his Muslim essence. When he, Dr. King, said that the day would come when the man would not be judged by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. That day is here now. And that's the reading I wanted to share from Imam Muhammad's last Jummah with us. And I kind of personally, Brother Imam Nasser and Brother Mustafa, the last talks, you know, Allah's hand is in everything. And the last talks, most, you know, tend to carry the most important message, because it's still like a summary or a summation of a lot of things. Here is Ali, the Imam Muhammad, pointing Muslims to think about the Christ's nature in them, which was alongside with the Muhammad essence or the Muhammad nature as well. So with that read, Brother Imam Nasser, anything you want to share?
Well, of course. Yes. Thank you so very much. You have many seeds that I want to develop as fast as I can. You know,
Take your time.
In the sacred text of Christians, the New Testament, Christ Jesus said, "You will not enter the heaven unless you come as babes." Mm. And Nicodemus said, "How is this to happen? Am I to go back into my mother's womb?" You know, now I'm paraphrasing. The good Christians, they know what I'm saying is the truth. As I said, I was raised in the church. My grandfather was a Baptist minister. They were prepping me to become a Catholic priest, so I know the book just a little bit in terms of ABCs, okay? Maybe not as much as some good Christians do. But I know the principles, and we should not violate the principles of the Bible, nor should we violate the principles of the Quran. You know, if you're going to be a Christian, be sincere to the Bible and to Jesus. If you're going to be a Muslim, be sincere to the Quran and Muhammad. You know, this is where we have to be now. But anyway, it says, "And you will not enter heaven unless you come as babes." So Nicodemus said, "Well, am I to go back into my mother's womb?" Jesus Christ never answered the question. He never answered it. And we have a way that we pray answered the question. You know, when you see the Muslim, you see he stands up, his two hands come up, then he puts his hands over his abdomen, then the Muslim will bend over, and then all of a sudden you see the Muslim put his face on the ground. You'll see this. And the Muslim puts his face on the ground because in the Genesis, Aaron put his face on the ground. Abraham put his face on the ground. This is in the book of Genesis. Moses put his face on the ground. And many, many more prophets. And Christ Jesus in the New Testament, before he was crucified, as they say, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he put his face on the ground. So what is this talking about? This is talking about every human being formed in his mother's womb for 9 months. He is in the position of prayer, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Every human being, he's formed in this way. He's baptized in the waters of his mother. You see? They don't look at it like this, but this is true. That baby is washed for 9 months, and when that child comes into the world, the child doesn't know how to lie, doesn't know how to cheat, doesn't know how to steal, comes as an innocent person. So the Christ nature is that baby formed in the mother's womb. The Muslim nature is that baby formed in the mother's womb. Okay? For Christians, they call it Christ nature. For Muslims, we call it fitra. Fitra means the nature of the universe. The universe has a nature. The dog has a nature. The cat has a nature. The sun has a nature. Grass has a nature. Everything has a nature. And when we say nature, we mean the correct habits that's been clocked into that entity over millions and millions of years that has resulted in its perfected nature. So to give you an example of what I'm talking about, some of the listeners may not understand what I mean. When you're breathing right now, that's the perfected nature. When you take in a cigarette, that's corrupted nature. When you're fresh from the mother's womb and you drink her breast milk, that's the perfected nature. When you become an adult and you drink alcohol, that's the corrupted nature. I hope I'm making this analogy very simple for the listeners. Okay? Any person who lies and cheats, robs the bank or whatever, he does this in the daytime. But when he goes to sleep, he goes back under the Christ nature or back under the Muslim nature, wherein he can do nothing but obey. When you're sleeping, you commit no sins. And why? Because you're going back under the original state of your formation, and that's the pregnancy for 9 months in the mother's womb. Okay. So Christ Jesus, what he was saying, I in you and you in me, that's what he meant. That he was created in his mother's womb called Mary. And in that womb, he did no wrong. And any human being that's born in any womb on the face of this earth, the parents can be murderers and alcoholics, but the sin of the parents cannot cross the placenta, cannot cross it. That's why every baby that is born is not born committing any sin, because God used the mother's body to do nothing but create a perfect, obedient life. And that is the original nature. That is the Christ nature explained simple as we can explain it. That's the Muslim nature explained as simple as we can explain it. And that's why every night you have to go to sleep. Sometimes you sleep in the daytime. And that's the meaning of, that's what God is trying to tell you. God is trying to tell us every time we go to sleep, listen, this is how I made you originally. You forgot. You forgot that you were not a sinner. You were not a liar. You were not an alcoholic. You were not a pervert. Excuse me, I'm going to say something going to make some of your listeners uncomfortable. You were not a homosexual. You were not a lesbian. God doesn't create those things. God creates perfect human beings. And when the perfect human being comes from the womb into this corrupt world, we make it the degenerate personality that the innocent creature then becomes. And that's where God uses us, Jesus and Muhammad and all Moses and all other prophets, to remind us of who we were and who we still are, but we have forgotten about it. Now, let me say this to help some people. You know, some of us are 30 years old. Others are 40 years old. Some of us are 60 years old. That means we're 30 years away from the day we were born, 60 years away from the day we were born, so on and so forth. Okay? But that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is not how far away you are from your birthday. The biggest problem is how far you are away from the consciousness of who you originally are. You see? That's where the problem is. And most of us don't realize that that baby that was born 40 years ago or 30 years ago or 60 years ago, that innocence and that purity that was born at that time is still with you. You're 40 years old, the innocence is still with you. You're 60 years old, the innocence is still with you. You have forgotten it. And the role of religion is to put your conscious mind back on that reality. Praise
yes,
be all my
Alhamdulillah. So can we say that the innocent?
Yeah, that's the purpose of prayer. The prayer is trying to get you to go back to that original innocence that you still have. I don't care what you call yourself. You get away from those labels. You know what I'm saying? The labels is not what's important. If you're a Jew, Christian, Muslim, that's not what's important. What is important is, are you a believer? See, the believer, the belief is the common denominator. If you're a Christian, that's not important. You have to be a believing Christian. If you're a Jew, you have to be a believing Jew. If you're Muslim, you have to be a believing Muslim. The commonality is belief.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. So can you say that innocence is the Christ nature?
Innocence. Yes, and that's what you have in you. But you call it the Christ nature. We Muslims call it the Muhammad nature, or we'll call it the fitra. We won't necessarily say Muhammad nature, but we will say fitra. And fitra just means nature, the nature, the nature. That's what I'm speaking to the Christian artists. They don't know these terms. Fitra just is an Arabic term that means nature. And
yes,
nature means that which you look at, water, grass, trees, sun, None of those things have ever told you a lie. Dirt never lied to you. Water never robbed you. That's how we mean. That's what we mean by nature. Muslims, they know, because, you know, this is our language. But for the benefit of the Christians who are doing a great job of trying to keep America whole and healthy, I'm doing it for their benefit. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Brother Muslim,
yes,
you have
sir.
A comment, question?
Yes, sir. I just was coming off of what the imam just shared with us, because the Quran tells us the best of you are those that are righteous. Whether
yes.
you be Christian, Muslim, or Jew, the best of those are those that are righteous. So, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And also at this time here, we want to invite listeners, if they have a question or comment, if they can. And I'm going to bring one on now. If they can just mention their first name, but their whole name if they feel comfortable. We're not asking for the whole name. But if they can just mention their first name and the city they're calling from. Caller, do you have a comment or question for our guests?
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
I just like to know where can the deliverance be retrieved? How can it be retrieved?
I'm sorry, but your phone is breaking up very badly. Can you say it again, please?
How can the deliverance be retrieved? How can I get this recording?
Mikhail, she might have to call back if she's driving or something, because that's creating a big problem, and we can't understand the question at all.
I think.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me?
Clearly.
I'd like to know how this deliverance can be retrieved.
Oh, this talk today?
Yes.
Yes, there's a link. I don't know if she has the link or not, but as soon as this show goes off, within 2 or 3 minutes, it will create a link, and you can go back and listen to it at any time. But now, if you go to Blog Talk Radio and then go to station IWDM, as in Imam W.D. Muhammad, station IWDM, and you will see a list of the various shows, and then just choose this one here. And this topic of this show is an Islamic view on being Christ-like with Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed. And you can choose to listen to it 24/7, you know, whenever you want to listen to it.
Thank you. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
You're welcome. Wa alaikum assalam. Okay, good. Yes. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing I like about this Blog Talk Radio. We thank our brother, our colleague, Abdullah. He's the originator for this. And it's a wonderful program. We can really stay in contact as believers and as Muslims. And the shows are archived. And Brother Imam, if you want to use it any kind of way, perhaps if you want to, however you want to do, whatever you want to do with it, please do so. You know, now we know you made a comment earlier, and I had a moment of laughter to myself. She was explaining that you got this email of W.D. Muhammad, and I'm kind of thinking to myself, for sure, because whatever we do on Words Made People, we're trying to continue that great legacy. You know, Muhammad, he sacrificed a lot, and we are not taking that his works lightly at all. And we want to put it forward. So we have you on. I'm going to mention, hopefully within the next 2 weeks, we're going to have on email Ronald Shaheed. He put out a number of books. Email Ronald Shaheed and email Ghani, Abdul Shaheed, and Brother Morocco, he's passed on. But every Thursday for the last year and a half or 2 years of Imam Muhammad's life, every Thursday they had to go to his house. And Imam told them to record everything he said. And now so far, Imam Ronald has put out one book, and Imam Morocco, Brother Morocco, put out a book as well. So those Thursday night conversations. So hopefully, listeners, you can tune in. And in the next maybe 2 weeks, we're going to have a guest on Imam Ronald Shaheed. And also in the future, we're going to have on Dr. Deborah McGee. She has put together a wonderful book that is sensitive because it deals with the issue that no one wants to really talk about. It's polygyny. And her book is titled Polygyny, What It Means When African American Muslim Women Share Their Husbands. That's the actual name of the book. The book is on sale now for $30 because when the book will come out locally, it's going to be $75. So you want to get the book now. Yeah, I think it's available. They have a website as well. I try to find their website before we end the show today. But I did want to mention those forthcoming shows as well with Imam Rana Shahid and Sister Deborah. Dr. Deborah McGee. So, Brother Imam Nasr Ahmed, getting back to our conversation, and that you shared quite a bit already. And also, we want to talk some with you on Independence Day and what does that mean for us, you know?
Yes, sir.
Independence Day compared to, we commonly say 4th of July, and I remember Imam Muhammad Sharon Webster said, you know, the 4th of July is, that's, that conversation is kind of like we're going to have a party, you know, 4th of July is kind of just to be off work, you know, just to be off work, you know, but so the Independence Day is speaking of a certain human quality. Can you share with us any thoughts or comments you have on that? I guess leave it like that.
Yes, certainly. Again, for most people, if you say the 4th of July or Independence Day, they would say, as I was taught in elementary school, that it was freedom from Europeans coming out of the dungeon in Europe and coming here to America, and then America fighting for its freedom with the Boston Tea Party starting it in Crispus Attucus and so on and so forth, you know. And that's mm-hmm. what we have been as a definition for the Independence Day, so on and so forth. Well, we can see that and we can respect that. But the real independence, now we're talking about for human beings, we're not talking about a nationalistic perspective. We're talking about a human mm-hmm. perspective. When God has the baby in his mother's body, the baby is free but held in check, right, by an umbilical cord.
Yes, sir.
The creature has been mm-hmm. has been assigned freedom, but is held captivity for 9 months. And after it comes out of that womb, it's still tied. You have to cut that umbilical cord. So these are signs mm-hmm. from God telling us something. God is telling you, I'm the only one to give you independence. God is saying this through that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to say this. You know, we blacks, we say we got our rights in 1970s. You know, we got the right to do this, right to vote, so on and so forth. I want to say something right. to you listeners. If you say some man gave you the rights to do this, then who gave that man the rights to give us rights? Okay,
Comment on that because I written this down, which you just said is one of my notes. I'm going to ask you to go a little further. Compare okay. independence of the Declaration
right.
in the 1700s of independence compared to Lincoln giving us the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
You just hit it because they didn't go to a man and say, give me my rights. They said, but damn it, excuse my expression, damn it, I declare my rights. Compared to somebody else giving us our rights.
Right. And this is what we have to understand, especially slaves for 460 years. Though we say that it was our rights, no human being can give you rights. God gave you rights with your Constitution. Now, I'm saying this for your listeners. Again, we have to grow up. We got to come out of fantasy language and into matured language of how nations are founded. The real independence is the independence mm-hmm. to live the life that God created for you. And I'm talking to your listeners, okay? So we have to understand that that's deeper than any label that you're wearing. You know, I'm a doctor. You know, I'm a oral surgeon, or I'm a Democrat, or I'm a Republican. That's a label, okay? And labels are like clothing that you wear. You know, Democrat, Republican, you know. the shirt that you have on, the pants that you have on, the dress that you have on, cannot stand up on their own. Your clothing need a physical body and on. I hope I'm making this point very clear.
Why,
Republican and Democrat, those things cannot hold you up. It's your human nature that holds you up. And if you are not in contact with your human nature, when certain pressures in society come down, the Democrat, the Republican, the doctor will break down because they were not first human beings. You put labels on human being, and the human being is carrying the label, not the label carrying the human being. And I'll give it to you for your listeners to make it very plain. Dear listeners, you want a man. You do not want a male if you're a woman. Okay? You want a man. You want a content of mind. You don't want the image. You want the reality. The image is what you see on the outside. You might have on bling bling, you know, a tuxedo. You understand what I'm saying? That's outside. But if there's no content and character there, the minute the rent note comes, he's broken down. The minute the light bill, he's broken down. Why? Because you didn't marry the abstract reality. You married a label. So the real independence is to come into that inner life that God created. You see? And that's the difference between the human being and the witch doctor. And most of our leaders have been modern-day witch doctors. Okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about our black leaders. We sound good. We sound good, but there's no substance there. And most of us, we choose our political leaders the same way. We choose him because he's black. We don't choose him because he's got substance. We're still suffering from these problems.
Yes,
so this is the thing. When you can see beneath the surface, and sisters, don't marry a man for his beard and his mustache and his muscles. Okay? If you're going to do that, you're better off marrying a gorilla.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yeah, so
the women now.
Were you finished?
The gorilla knows how to keep his family together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Some muscles, they can't pick up one paper bill, a light bill. It's too heavy for him. I can't pick it up. But he can pick up 500 pounds in prison. So I'm making a little humor out of it, but I'm trying to reach what is our core problem. I'm not speaking to, as a racist. I'm just speaking to us as the lowest people on a totem pole that have to carry our share and responsibility in America. Okay? We got to come out of this mentality and become producers in this country.
So we can say, let me say it, and you may agree to it, that Abraham Lincoln, we thank Allah for him being president, that gave us physical freedom. But that obligates us to come into our own independence as everybody else has came to. But we do have a caller calling from the 843 area code. I'm going to bring them on. They can share their name, the first name, and the city they're calling from, and then they can ask a question or make a comment. Caller, please go ahead.
Hi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I need you, Washington. From Charleston,
yes,
South Carolina. I appreciate everything, the knowledge, the insight, the truth, the wisdom that you brothers are bringing. I thank Allah for Imam Muhammad and for you students of Imam Muhammad. We need the knowledge and the insight this day and time. Like you said, it's a new day, a new order, new life, new truth. And I didn't expect to be on the radio. I was just listening. But he talked on a lot of things that the country, they went back to sleep. The country went back to sleep. And Imam Muhammad, the teaching, is waking. And you can't stop it. You can see the order is coming in order the way the Creator wanted it to be, the way it should have been. You can't stop it. The only thing Allah said in the Quran, they're going to submit willing or unwilling. They will submit to his truth, his light, his righteousness. I'm nervous because
ma'am.
I don't like to talk in public.
Oh.
But I appreciate everything. The insight is nice. And I'm glad you touched on independence because I sit there and I wonder how a race of people, African-American people, why we don't have land? Who gave man a certain race to have the power, authority over us to say, this is yours, this is mine, you can't have this? Why we don't have it like that? What happened?
Yes, right.
Something happened somewhere.
Right.
And we need to get out of that. We need to rethink how we perceive things. We need to, it's deep. There's so much I can say, but I'm just jumping. He talked a lot about Christ, the Christ spirit.
Right.
That's what we should strive to be about. That's what it's all about. Once we get that image down, I think everybody, the world would be better off because we would see us as human beings, one nation, one creation, like the Creator one. And that's the trick of deception of Shaitan, to deceive but to keep us divided so we can't
ma'am.
Come together into that unity that Allah, the Creator, wants us to be. There's so much he touched on that I was so busy trying to cook and try to listen and wanted to say stuff at the time that he was bringing it. But I want to know why we don't have the land. Why? Who gave that authority for that particular people to be over us and say, this is yours, this is mine, you can't have this? Their children
yes,
grow
well,
up, they don't have to work, they got land, they got property, they got
right.
this and that.
I just want to say before you, ma'am, not to answer and reply, but I want to say if you're nervous now, then you just stay nervous because she's talking real good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That's how a lot more because we say signs. We have to pay attention to the signs and everything we do and see.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to listen. And I always say with our heart, mind, soul, spirit, and the heart, all those are ears. Everything is ears. You know, everything is eyes. And we can't just put label on, back to the label. I like how he talked on the label. You know, that's to hinder us from the true understanding of our true nature, our purpose in life, and the crown of creation. We are the crown of creation if we get in tune and pay attention.
Yes,
I wish we could bring this worldwide for every soul to hear and conscience and all the devices to hear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the shows are being recorded as we speak. When the show go off, you can come back to the station. I'm gonna find that link and share it with everybody. And you can listen to this show whenever you want to. You can copy the link and send it to your friends. You can post it on your Facebook page or Twitter, and whoever you want to hear this show, they can hear it whenever they want to hear it. But I'd like for email Master Ahmed to respond to what you have just shared.
Yes,
brother Imam.
I would like to. Yes, sir. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, dear sister. You did a wonderful job. You did better than I did. And I better start taking it so my talks will be clear like yours. Your talks will be clear.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I'd like to refer to the Christian audience to their sacred text. In the book of Malachi, I think it's chapter 3, verse 8. I'm almost certain. And it asks a question. It says, will a man rob God? And answer says, yet ye have robbed me. You see? So that's that scripture. The Quran says it's similar things. It says the queen of Sheba, she said, kings, when they enter a country, they despoil it and make the noblest of its people the lowest. So here's two scriptures speaking to what happened to us. Historically, what happened, we were just like any other nation, any other people in the world. We all developed from primitive life. And then we came into developed life. And for our situation is a particular condition of slavery. In our condition that you have now where we don't have land, Imam Muhammad says it is a result of the brutal butchering of our original mind, their first mentality that we had before we came to America. where slavery skillfully severed from our minds those functions of mental and spiritual development which classify our physical body as a man or a human, and burdened us with these self-destructive tendencies of artificiality, where we decorate ourselves before we decorate the neighborhood. Okay? So our minds have been conditioned to automatically reject any attempt of the mind to reflect on truth that thus produces a deformed and abnormal psychology of slave perpetuation. So that cruel treatment, it was designed to break up and destroy the true life that was within the bodies, treating us only as flesh, disregarding the person on inside, and killing the within the flesh and making the flesh to become stronger than the person within. I hope you can see this is our psychological analysis of our people. And this is what we need to do. We need to do books on this. So they broke our spirit and make us to accept being handled like an animal. You know, when I have grandchildren and I handle them, I carry them in my arms. You see what I mean? But they don't mind it because they know I love them. They know that I'm going to feed them. I'm going to give them equal treatment. So they don't mind being handled. But when we were handled, we were worse than an animal. And when let me finish now. When they would gradually let us have so-called little freedom, they were constantly slipping ideas into our dulled minds that would do the work of the crime of keeping that inward person dead, so that when we did get so-called physical freedom, we would never have the mental freedom. Okay?
Yes, sir.
So when we neglect the cultivation of the real life within, that is the higher form, the mind, within, then the physical body suffers and dies. You know?
Yes, sir.
Let me finish now. Ideas were placed in our warped mind, put in a very deceitful way to shackle the mind with psychological chains that came in the form of words stronger than any restraint that we can imagine that kept us in the slave mentality, and it killed the sense of responsibility in us for self and each other. So therefore, we have this liberation message of the Quran and of Prophet Muhammad that is killing the cancerous disease that does not recognize any responsibility for self and for kind.
Wait, hold on.
Let me give this to your listeners. This is important that I say this. Listen. The Quran tells us, for people who are like us, it says, do not forget your share of the material world. Good God Almighty. Don't we need that message?
Yes, we do. That's deep.
That's the cure. We have to drive that message all over the globe. Do not, God says in the Quran, do not forget your share of the material world. You a sincere Christian, then you cannot forget your share of the material world. You a sincere Muslim, then you must obey scripture, and you must get your share of the material world. It's a requirement just as much as it is for you to pay charity, tithes in the church, it's just as much as it is for you to pray. It is an obligation for you to get a share of the material world, and this is what's missing. We give this message. You're going to see more and more of our people coming into land ownership. Thank you for letting me say that, please. I was having a junkie,
no
junkie addiction for not talking.
Okay, beautiful. It's okay. I did want to comment on some more. That is so beautiful. But like you said, share. If our heart and mind and soul and spirit not right and according to the way Allah said we should be obedient and kind and compassionate, mercy towards one another, when we get that share, some of us get selfish. We get greedy. You got to know the system within you. Get it outside. We get our share.
Yes.
A lot of us have got our share, and a lot of us forgot what the purpose of getting the share of this dunya, this world, to give and to be, you know, to help those who's not able to give the barakah, to get the barakah, because we're here for a moment. We a moment to me is just like a lifetime, but just a moment Allah will take our soul as we speak, just a blinking of an eye. But when I say a share and give it back, we got to get the bear because we're leaving this world. We're going to leave here. We got to go to the hereafter. We got to deal with that too. And those barricades are so important. Not being spooky. I want you to do it too. There's so much I want to do. I want to give. I want to help. There's so many souls are crying out. But you got to know yourself first to be able to help those to give because everybody's not going to be fortunate. And when you said, when you went back to the setting, the mindset, the condition, how they reduce our spirit and tore it down, and the theory of the Woodland Lynch syndromes, and say that it would be a phenomena, that we would be able to change that, it can be changed. They're a lie. The devil's a lie. He used words, back to the words he was saying. Words make people work and make them, it can hinder us. And when he said that it would be a phenomena, when you know the creator, the true creator, and the purpose of your true nature for being here, you can do achieve anything you want to by his grace and mercy. But so we lock those change. Okay, I can talk, but I'm gonna leave you alone. But I appreciate everything. I love you.
Yeah, well, we appreciate
you
too. We love you too.
On the path.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. We do have some more callers who are waiting.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can talk.
No. Do not be sorry. Yes. No, do not be sorry. You are a big contribution. And also before we get to that, we want to work in, if we can, the part that Mr. Farad came to bring up a different type of independence. He, too, came on 4th of July. But before we get to that, if you may, I want to take the next caller. We have about a half hour left on the show, so we got time. This caller is from the 727 area code. Can you give us your first name and the city you call us from, please?
This is Lukman, Clearwater, Florida. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to say I've been listening to your program for the past 3 weeks, and I enjoy it very much. Cool drink of well water. I have two questions for Imam. One is, as a student follower of Imam Waraduddin Muhammad, I tried to find the definition for the Quranic term of Jesus, Isa, and I can't seem to find it, so I'm at a loss there. Now, the second question is, can you share with us the understanding in the Quran of the miracles of Prophet Jesus, alayhi salam, that he performed? One of them was changing clay into a flying bird. And then can you give us an understanding of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, miracle?
Okay.
Hello?
Alhamdulillah. I'm here. Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Okay.
You want to find where the word is written, where the Arabic word is written in the Quran? Is that what you mean, where to find the name Isa?
It's easy to find the name. I wanted to know the definition, the meaning of Isa. What does it mean? Like for the name, the Imam gave the meaning of Moses, it means found by the water, and Musa means razor.
Allahu Akbar. Yeah, once the Imam told us, it's close to a word asa, which means maybe or possibility. Okay?
Okay.
It's close to that word. And it means that Christ Jesus was a sign. He was a sign. And I'm speaking to Muslims and Christians, so I have to go back and forth. For the Christians, Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away, least not the Comforter come unto you. Now, that's the teachings in the New Testament of Christ Jesus. So that's letting you know to the listeners now that there was one that Jesus had predicted that's going to come after him, and meaning that Christ Jesus didn't finish his work. He says expedient that I go away. It's important that I leave, okay? So Christ Jesus was a sign
of the coming of Muhammad the Prophet. He's a sign of the coming of Muhammad the Prophet. And if you study all of the religious history of the world, you will find that all of what was established by the prophets before Muhammad is all gone. You know, what David and what Solomon did, there's nothing anywhere around. And Muhammad, what he established, is still exists. You can find it. And the other thing I want to say, just a help, of all of the prophets before Muhammad, you only have sketches of their life, sketches of their history. You do not have the complete history. And I'm not speaking to Muslims, I'm speaking to Christians, because this is important that they know that. We don't know what Jesus did after he was 12 years old till he was 33 years of age. There's a big gap in there. We don't know what happened. But one of the miracles of Prophet Muhammad is that we have everything that happened to him from the day he was born to the day he passed out of this world. It is recorded. That is a miracle. We have the Quran, which is a complete text. Not one word has been lost. No chapter, no sentence has been lost. That's another miracle. That says the about the questions of Jesus and his miracles, turning a bird into clay, getting the blind man to see. Okay? So let me explain this. The blind man, Jesus met him, and Jesus picked up some clay from the ground, clay or dirt, and Jesus spat in the dirt. And he took it, he put it on the eyes of the blind man. Now, when I was in the church, I thought that was a terrible thing to do because the man was already blind, you see. And you're putting dirt on his eyes, it's even a worse condition. I'm just talking when I had the baby understanding. I'm talking to Christians now. But when I grew up and I began to grow up and question these things, then Imam Muhammad explained it to me. The spitting in the dirt, when you talk as a human being, if you get close to any human being who's talking, he'll spit on you. You can't help but spit out when you're talking. So when Jesus was spitting out his words, that means the spiritual teachings that he was giving to the man. This is not a blind man in two eyes. This is a blind man in his mind. Like we black slaves, we were mentally blind. I hope you understand my analogy. So the blindness of the man that Jesus was dealing with was mental blindness, not physical. The man had two eyes. He could see, but he didn't know what to do with his life. So Christ Jesus began to give him a spiritual message, and that's the water coming out of his mouth. That's the spiritual message. And when he picked up the dirt is the rational message. Earth has logic in it. Earth. That's where mathematics come from. Earth. That's where engineering comes from. Earth. This is where medicine comes from. Earth. So it means that Jesus took the logic that's in material matter, and he took the spiritual teachings of divine revelation and put that on the man's mental blind eye, and the man began to. And I guarantee you, if you take anybody who's a dummy and you give him some rational teachings of math and algebra, geometry, and the truth about Jesus and Muhammad, he'd end up being a scholar better than any of us in the room. Yes, guarantee you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
So that's
let me finish.
But remember now, the Bible and the Quran, mainly the Quran, says that Jesus could not do those miracles except by the permission of God. Jesus could not do it on his own. And I'm saying to the Christian leaders and the Christian listeners, what did Jesus Christ say? He said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? God doesn't talk like that. And when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, he put his face on the ground. Who does God pray to? God prays to no one. So those are signs that Jesus was not an equal with God. Those are signs. And I'm saying that I was raised, I was told Jesus was a son of God and all that. You understand, I believe my parents. I didn't think my parents would tell me a lot. I had very good parents, you know. But then when I began to ask these kind of questions, they couldn't answer it for me. They couldn't. Now, listen, let me give some parables. Please, let me say this. I have to say this for your listeners, as a Christian. Let me give you an example of what woke me up. I was told that there was only one man, his name was Adam. And he was the first one on earth, nobody else around. And then from his rib comes Eve with nobody else around, just these two people. Then they had two children, Cain and Abel. Now, it's only four people on earth now. Listen to me. I'm talking to the Christian now. I'm telling you what helped me. Then it said Cain killed Abel. So how many is that? Huh? Four minus one, at least three, right? At least three. Then it said Cain went to the land of Nod and knew his wife. Well, my question is, where'd the wife come from? And the reason why I'm stating this is because you have to, at some point in time, as a Christian, as a Muslim, you're going to have to deal with your scripture and see that it's parables and it's not to be taken literally. Okay? Now, let me say this to your listeners. It said that he went to the land of Nod. And how do you spell Nod? N-O-D. And you know when you get sleepy, what do you start doing? You start nodding. You start nodding your head. But this nod is not the nodding of the physical head. This is a nodding of the mental mind that went to sleep. That's what it's talking about. And they start taking everything as reality when it's supposed to have been only a parable. And you're to look for its explanation as we are sharing this afternoon. And thank you so much for this interview. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May God bless you all.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. To our caller, you have a follow-up?
No, I'm full now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. So, yeah, at this time here, Brother Iman Nasser, we got another call on me. The call has been patient, but I'm going to ask you to speak briefly. We have about 25 minutes, about 20 minutes left. Anyway, Mr. Farad saying that he came to us on Independence Day, too. Do you have any comments on that?
Yes. Mr. Farad was coming as a satire. He was reflecting, he was using the Nation of Islam as a mirror to reflect America to itself. You know, I can think that I'm looking good and get ready to go out the house, but something may come on my mind and say, go look in the mirror. When I look in the mirror, maybe I have mucus running down the side of my nose, or maybe my hair might not be combed, you see? But unless I look in the mirror, I will not know my true image, because the one thing about a mirror, it will not lie to you. If you 4 feet tall, it ain't going to tell you you're six, okay? So,
yes,
so the Nation of Islam, Mr. Farad Muhammad used it as a mirror to reflect the hypocrisy in the subconscious mind of Americans who didn't realize that they had a hypocrisy. They said, you know, one nation under God, all men are created equal by their Lord with certain inalienable rights. Well, for 400 years, most of the Americans did not reflect on what I just recited to you. So Mr. Farad, in bringing about our freedom, he used this, the Nation of Islam, to reflect what had happened to us. In other words, the white man had presented it himself at that time, not now, as the chosen people. Jesus was white. All the angels were white. And everything black was bad and Satan. So Mr. Farad, he used the reverse psychology. He brought about the Nation of Islam where everything was black, God was black, all of the angels were black, and that white man was the devil. And he did that so the white man could see the falsehood that had escaped his conscious mind, and that was acting as a germ in his subconscious mind, of which he would never have been able to correct himself had Farad Muhammad had not come. So it acted as a medicine for Caucasians. It helped the blacks, yes. But he was designed to help the white man more than he was designed to help us. The one to help us was Elijah Muhammad, his student. Elijah Muhammad was the student of Farad Muhammad. Farad Muhammad was not a black African-American. Farad Muhammad was from the Middle East. We think in India somewhere, okay?
Right.
And he was the one who brought this message to the Nation of Islam. It did not originate with Elijah Muhammad. No, it did not.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay.
Listeners know this. They all think that Elijah Muhammad came up with this teaching. No, he did not.
Right. I do want to mention for those who asked the question, another way to get to the archive for this show just you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/station-IWBM. When you get to that link, then you will see a list of the shows, and then this particular show is called An Islamic View on Being Christlike with email Dr. Nasser Ahmed of Miami, Florida. So again, it's www.blogtalkradio.com/station-IWBM. And then you can find this show. You can give it a click. You get to our show. Copy that link. And you can send it to your friends or whoever you want to. So at this time here, we have a caller from the 413 area code. Been very patient. And caller, can you state your first name and the city you're calling from? Are you there? Well, they've been on hold for a while. Maybe they went away. Okay, Brother Imam, I'm going to put them back on hold. No, I'm going to do them off hold in case they come on. But call from the 413 area code. He'll call, he'll question or comment for our guest. Please let us know. But Brother Imam, we're down to our last, I'd say about 20 minutes. And let's talk about, before I forget, the caller you just answered, and you gave an answer that I wanted to write down. Well, he asked us, he asked you for a definition of Isa.
Jesus.
And then you said that Imam Muhammad had said what now? If she can share that again with us.
It's close to the Arabic word that means maybe or perhaps.
Yes.
Very
yes,
close.
I found that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because I went to one of my sites. I go to a very good site called Corpus Quran.
Right.
Corpus.Quran. And yes, and that word is the same. It's like Isha. No, I'm sorry. The root is Ayn, Seen,
yes.
And Yeh.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it has perhaps or may or maybe. Yes, sir. Okay.
Yes.
Because I plan to do my own research as well, you know, because that's a very good question that was asked. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we do want to announce that you will be, next week, you will be doing a Ramadan session in Washington, D.C., and Masjid Muhammad. Do you know what time that's going to be?
It's going to be the entire weekend, and it's starting with Jummah prayer.
Yes, sir. Okay, very good.
So it is a schedule, but I'm not looking at the schedule right now, and I give the wrong times. But I'm certain
okay.
You know you can have a website, and it's listed on the website. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. I'm about to look it up right now if I can. But if you go to the nationsmosque.org,
right.
And put in
yes.
/Ramadan 2015, and then that should get you what you need for the information goes as well. But this has been quite a wonderful conversation, Brother Imam Nasser Ahmed. And there's so much more that we can cover and that we need to cover. But is there anything that I may not have asked or the callers may not have asked that you want to share with them?
Yes, yes. To get back to the lack of land ownership and accountability.
I'm sorry. Please
yes.
Let me get this call in first, okay?
Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, let me get this call in first from the 202 area code. You have a question or comment, please?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, brother Imam.
This is Lyndon Bilal, Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir. I know you're
And we definitely put the word out that Dr. Nasser Ahmed was on your program today so that people could get a preview if they didn't already know who he was.
Thank you. They
got much more than that, for sure. But I wanted to let you know about the Ramadan session in Washington, D.C. The schedule is not posted yet, but we plan on posting it today. And
okay.
As Dr. Imam Nasser said, that he'll be giving the Jumu'ah prayer. That's at 1:30. And then we'll have a Ramadan session following Asr prayer, which is at 5:30 on up to Maghrib. And then the next morning after Fajr prayer, which is around 5 o'clock a.m., we're going to listen to the national broadcast, and we're going to have a Ramadan session following the national broadcast. I think Imam Yahya Abdullah is going to be the presenter for that. And the Ramadan session following that broadcast will include Imam Nasser Ahmed. Then we'll have another Ramadan session around 11 a.m. with Imam Nasser Ahmed. And then we'll come back after Salatul Dhuhr, and we have two young sisters that's going to be presenting. Sister Ndidi Okokpu, Washington, D.C. native, now living in Chicago, and Sister Namat Bilal, who is from Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So we're giving Dr. Nasser Ahmed a break at that time, and he'll be coming back after Asr prayer up until Maghrib. And then the following day, the last day, which is Sunday, we have the national broadcast again, and Imam Nasser Ahmed will be giving that, which I think the other day there were like 700 people on that national broadcast when he gave it. So he'll be giving that, and then we're going to have a halakha session after that broadcast. And then we'll be bringing Dr. Nasser Ahmed in again around 11 a.m. to around 1 p.m. Then we'll have our Salatul Dhuhr. And then our last Ramadan session will be with Sister Ndidi about 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. And these sketches, you know, it may be some variations, but that's pretty much the gist of it. So we're going to put that out on our website, as you said.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. What about the cost? Is there any cost associated with it? Is there and also, do you have a deadline to register as well?
Well, we still got our early bird special. We extended it until July the 7th, which is Tuesday evening, so you can get that for $40 for the whole weekend, which is a bargain. Or you can get the separate, you can just do Friday for $15 and Saturday for $25 and Sunday for $15. But, you know, I think it's a better deal just to do the $40 and do the whole weekend.
Does that include the iftar meal, or you have to buy your own meals in the evening?
No. Iftar is included. And every day at Masjid Muhammad, you know, that's those who haven't visited Masjid Muhammad, you know, it's open every day for the five daily prayers. And you can see the Hajj congregation pretty much there at Masjid Muhammad on any given day for those prayers because, you know, everybody goes. That's why we call it the Nation's Mosque. I mean, that's one of the reasons why it's called the Nation's Mosque, but that's another story in itself.
Well, let me ask you, because they should get them for $40. You get all this mental and spiritual food. But you also get on Friday and Saturday, you get physical food too. All of this for $40.
Yeah, it's a bargain. I don't know how to say it any other way.
Yeah, well, the only thing that comes to my mind when we get back to our conversation, you know, maybe there's a symbolic number. You know, that number 40 means something to us. So maybe that's connected. Because that is an excellent price. And that is a superb price.
And all. And also, we're going to have some vendors there, and anybody who wants to vend, they can get in on that early bird, too, for $50. And, you know, it'll be a great opportunity for people to come and get their e-gifts, you know, in advance. Mm-hmm. And then if they vend with us at the Ramadan session, we're going to give them a 20% discount if they vend with us at the Eid. So we're making it easy for people, you know.
Alhamdulillah, thank you. We thank you for that detailed information. Because we know there's a number of Ramadan sessions around the country. I'm going to ask you, Imam Nasser, to speak to that, too. Because when it first began, the language was Ramadan retreat, and there was a select number of imams that came. But later on came to Ramadan session. But I know there's one city, I want to say Memphis, they have a sisters-only Ramadan session. And there's a number of this going on. So, Brother Imam, I'll say anything you want to share on that, please?
Yes. When the Imam was with us, he had predicted that the Ramadan session would be all over the country. And especially since the economic downturn that happened a few years ago, that really pointed up need to have regional Ramadan sessions in terms of that's how it actually started. And now it's just blossoming more and more and more. So he made the prediction that it would happen. And he told us, we used to have our national conventions, which were very, very huge. And he said that the Ramadan sessions would grow bigger than national conventions, and it has actually done that. Yes.
Yes, right.
So you're
yes,
right.
Sir.
Mm-hmm. So we look forward to with the believers in Washington, and we are so thankful.
Yeah, Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar.
Yes. Thank God for you. You're doing a wonderful work in Washington. You are impacting everyone throughout the country and the world. The work that you're doing in Washington, D.C. is affecting the world. You know, most of your members don't realize it, and that's how it happens most of the time. But I'm seeing it on this public airways, you know, and working with the beautiful Jewish leaders and the Christian leaders who have risen above their labels and are now moving on the universal principles of humanity. Many wonderful changes are happening in the world. Yes. So I just want to let you know that I'm happy to go there and put my name in the ring with you guys. Yeah.
Yes, Alhamdulillah. Okay.
He's all over the place.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. While Imam Linden was speaking, I remember a question I wanted to interject almost from the top of our conversation. And so I beg your all forgiveness. But in 1996, Imam Muhammad traveled to the Vatican. And while there, he met with a wonderful lady, Kira Hilbert. In 1997, Imam Muhammad introduced her. It was through a video or maybe Skype type thing. He introduced her, this Christian lady leader, to us and her teachings. And one thing that he said to us on numerous occasions, because we asked him, why was he introducing us, a Muslim community, to a Christian community? And he said this community, the Focaloid movement, he was introducing us to them because they practice Christ's love. And so, and they were saying to us that we can benefit from them, a people that practice Christ's love. So in light of our overall conversation, Brother Imam Nasser Ahmed, you were just there with the Focaloid 2 months ago, a month ago?
Yes,
so if she can comment on your thoughts on what Imam Muhammad was trying to get us to see, and also speak somewhat on your travels there with our Christian family, friends, the Focaloid.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I visited the folkloric leadership, and I visited the Ecumenical Interfaith Council in Rome, which is just under the order of the cardinals. And they were sharing with us their experience with Imam Muhammad and how his interfaith works, well, in conjunction with their works, making serious inroads to improve the condition for all of humanity. And I found the Folklore to be very, very warm-hearted. That was my first trip to Rome to meet them, the Folklore. Imam Muhammad was using them to remind us of what we have in our faith traditions as Muslims. And that is the same as Prophet Muhammad, where Prophet Muhammad stated that you will not enter paradise unless you believe, and you will not be believers unless you practice loving one another. And so what he was trying to get us to do was to remember that saying of Prophet Muhammad and practice it as the Christians had remembered their sayings of Christ Jesus and practicing it, that is the folklore movement. You know, they are the biggest movement, international movement of Christians that actually practice loving one another. So Imam Muhammad was trying to get our community to know, yes, we have the hadith, but now it's time to practice it. And here's a community that's not Muslim and practicing the teachings of love of their religious leader, that is Christ Jesus, and we are to do a similar likewise. Yes.
Yes, sir.
So I think it was a very wise move. It affected many of our people in the best way. I found that to be true. Yeah. And I'm seeing more love coming from us. It's slow, but it's coming.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
It's understanding is helping to love. It's easier to love somebody when you have it.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you very much. We're down to maybe 10 minutes, and you were going to speak earlier about land, but also I want you to speak a little bit on Ramadan, the ninth month, the baby in the womb for 9 months as well, and how that can also bring us back to our future or our original nature or the Christ nature. You can take either one you want to first, the land or the 9 months of Ramadan.
Right, right, right. The Imam Muhammad had shared years ago, oh, man, maybe 30 years ago now, maybe 35 years ago, the reason for the fasting of the month of Ramadan. And he stated that the month of Ramadan comes in the ninth calendar, and it's a lunar calendar, which means that it doesn't come in the same time every year. It rotates throughout different times of the year over 30 years. And he was saying that in the womb of mother, we eat only in darkness. So in the month of Ramadan for 30 days, we do not eat food. We don't drink water in daylight. We wait until the sun sets, and then we eat. And it is to pattern our life back after that original pattern we had in the womb. That's what it's trying to get us to do, to remember that life. But now, in the womb, God gave us a perfect body. The physical body that we have is perfect. It is not sinful. It's perfect. The eyes are not sinful. The ears are not sinful. The heart's not sinful. The lung is not sinful. It's the mind that commits the sin, and the flesh is just obeying the thinking in the mind. Now, so what we have now, if the body has been made perfect, of which the body will perfectly obey your thinking. The body never obeys. I'm sorry, never disobeys. The body completely obeys. Now, since we have a perfect body, then God now wants to help us get a perfect mind. So to get the perfect mind, God reveals Scripture. And as Muslims, we are required to read 1/30 of the Quran every day, in hopes that after 30 days we will have read the entire Quran for that year. And Ramadan comes once a year. Now, to help people understand, I tell people this way. When you're 16 years old, you need a complete year to be 16. And once that year is done, now you can't go back and be 16. Now you're going to be 17. Then you need a complete year to finish that. Okay, so the Ramadan gives us 30 days to completely read the Quran and get the understanding that God wants you to understand for that year, so that next year you get a higher level of understanding in 30 days.
Yes, sir.
The moon begins.
Yeah,
the moon begins with a sliver, right? You know, you can't see a full moon. So the Ramadan fasting begins with the new moon, and you can hardly see it. And after 30 days, it becomes a full moon. So the Ramadan is saying that the human mind of man begins like the new moon with no knowledge. And he has to grow under guidance, divine guidance of scripture, revelation from God, to come into the full illumination of his mind.
Right. So, yeah. And I recall the man saying that at the end of 9 months, as the baby comes forth from the womb, free of sin, if we have fasted with the right spirit and attitude and dedication, we are going forth from Ramadan free of sin as well.
That's right. The month of Ramadan, if we practiced it sincerely, you are free of any sin. You are just as though you're a brand new baby born all over again. That's exactly right. And that's the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet. Yes, he taught that. Mm-hmm. And then 3 months after the fast of Ramadan, we have the Hajj. And if we make the Hajj, the ninth day of Hajj is called Arafat. And if we make the Arafat, then it's as though we're born again as a brand new baby. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You know, then also, Go ahead.
Just like the body, it takes 9 months for it to be completely formed.
Mm-hmm.
The Ramadan comes in the ninth month. Now, in the ninth month, we are putting our mind into a self-imposed womb.
Mm-hmm.
And with the word of God, we are to become impregnated in our mind with those words. Brand new personality forming in the person that practiced sincerely. And that's the truth. It does happen. And you know, professional psychologists, you know what they say? They say if you want to create a new habit in a human being, you have to have a habit done over and over again for 30 days. Now, were they first or was Muhammad first?
That's right. Muhammad was first. Yeah. They also, on 30, I just got a text from a brother. He said the Surah 30, Ayah 30. He also speaks about the century as well.
Exactly. Perfect.
Yes,
that's exactly right. I hope he's from Washington because he and I are going to have a good time.
Yes, he is. He's from Washington. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we're down to our closing minutes. You want to make some comments about land? But before you do that, I'm going to let people know this program here is so rich. You need to chew on it again. What I may do is repeat this show next week, or very soon, I should say. The day is July 3rd, but I may play it again July 10th. Who knows? I may play July and August too. But I think it's good that we pay this back because we covered a lot of material for a lot of people. So if you can please, Brother Imam, share with us your comment about land that you were saying before, or land acquisition. Go ahead, please.
Yes. In the Bible it says, and man is as grass. This is the Bible. I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. Man is as grass. And in the Quran it says, and man is as a plant. Just say the same thing. So why does God put this in Scripture like this? Most people never pick on the wisdom of Scripture. It is because a plant, a blade of grass, cannot exist if it doesn't have land. It's a landowner also.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong?
You're right.
A blade of grass has land. So God is trying to tell us through Scripture, get you some land.
That's right. Right. Thank you.
And let me say this.
Yes.
Yeah, let me say this real quickly for the help of our people to help. You know, water evaporates, right? And then it condenses in cool regions, and then it comes back down free of germs, okay?
Mm.
So this is scripture using this as a symbolic mind that man's sensitivities can become polluted and contaminated in false culture. And when it's contaminated in false culture, he loses his right to ownership of land. This is man's right by God. United States can't give you that right. Russia can't give you that right. God gave us that right. You see? And this is what most of us forget. We think Donald Trump got some special right that we don't have. You see? So man cries out to God, and God hears man, and God raises man up, and he lifts him up above the corruption of his culture and sends that man back down pure so he can see that he is supposed to intermingle with the earth and produce production. Isn't that right?
Water
can be in urine. Water can be in feces. But if you put that water out there in the sun will raise that water up away from that filth. It'll raise it so high till the filth can't go up with it. And then when that water is that high up in those regions in the cloud, the lightning will strike it, put nitrogen inside that water. And once that nitrogen is inside that water rushes back down to produce growth on the earth. And that's the human mind of man. Yes, the sun is descriptive. Man is responsive to scripture. His moral nature that used to be on reefers and wine, when you put scripture in his mind the way we're giving it to it now, his moral nature wants to rise up and say, I want some more of that understanding. You see? And
if
he gets more of that understanding, all of a sudden he starts seeing what God made him for, or she starts seeing what God made them for. That's the thunder and the lightning. And then all of a sudden they see that their great purpose that God does for them, and they want to rush back in the community and be a school teacher, a banker, a doctor, a lawyer.
Come on,
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
This is the teachings of Christ Jesus. This is the teachings of Moses without labels.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for you. You're wonderful men, both
God
of you. Hey, look here. When the God put you two on the program, that showed he's mighty.
Yes, sir.
Right now. They are shaking right now because they don't want this truth in the ears of the man.
You say,
the modern slaveholders, and it's time out for slavery. No more slavery. Only slavery is for God. We're to be slaves to God only, not to man.
We come in this spirit. The Quran says, fight them into the service, the worship of Allah. And that is the reason why America has the First Amendment, freedom of religion. They understand that verse. American founding fathers, they understood. When the Quran said fight them. And they had the American Revolution, the Boston Tea Party, fought them until religion was established. And we just doing the same thing. We're down to our last minute. Anything that you want to say before we go?
There's something the Imam touched on earlier, Brother Imam, about the light. The Quran tells us in Surah 4, Ayah 174, it said, O mankind, verily there have come to you a convincing proof from your Lord, for we have sent unto you a light manifest, a light that you can grasp or you can understand the Quran, something that you can hold and put your hand on.
Yes, sir.
That's been on my mind since the email spoke on that earlier in the show.
Now you put it on my mind. I
got to
go back and research.
We got about 15 seconds left, so we're going to have to, that's going to be our, what they call it in the movies, a cliffhanger. We're going to leave that right there, because we have to go.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, the listeners. We wish everybody a blessed Ramadan. And we're going to talk to you again, a blessed Eid Saeed Mubarak. And Rosie Manasseh, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Assalam, everyone, assalamu alaikum.
Well, I'm from my hero, the God to who?
People every day trying to do things their own way, but everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on any advice. Make sure your words hold true, 'cause people hold you to your words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are, 'cause those type of words, they don't go far. Thinking starts, words can buy from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind.
First of all, my condolences goes to the Ali family. Rest his soul to the GOAT. Not quite sure if I'm going to answer your question exactly how you wanted to, but just so many thoughts come to my mind when I think about the man who passed away yesterday. What he represented. As a kid, I gravitated towards him because he was a champion. But I only knew as a kid of what he did inside the ring. As I got older and I started to be more knowledgeable about sport in general, and about the guys who paved the way for guys like myself, I understood that he is the greatest of all time, and he was the greatest of all time because of what he did outside of the ring. Obviously, we knew how great of a boxer he was, but I think that was only 20% of what made him as great as he was. What he stood for, I mean, it's a guy who basically had to give up a belt and relish everything that he had done because of what he believed in, and ended up in jail because of his beliefs. It's a guy who stood up for so many different things throughout the times where it was so difficult for African Americans to even walk in the streets. And for an athlete like myself today, without Muhammad Ali, I wouldn't be sitting up here talking in front of you guys. I wouldn't be able to walk in restaurants. I wouldn't be able to go anywhere where blacks weren't allowed back in those days because of guys like Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell, Lou Alcindor, Jackie Robinson, and the list goes on and on. So when an icon like Muhammad Ali passed away, it's just it's very emotional. It's also gratifying to know that one man, will sacrifice so much in his individual life, knowing that it would better the next generation of men and women after him. So today I can sit and go to China and make trips to China and all over the world, and people know my name and know my face. I give all credit to Muhammad Ali because he was the first icon. He is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time, and it has zero to do with his accomplishments inside the ring. I just think it's in you. If it's in you, then it will be brought to light. If it's not, then it won't. I will never compare myself to Muhammad Ali because I never had to go through what those guys had to go through back in those times. But in my own struggles, in my daily struggles of, as I continue to say, growing up in inner city being a statistic that was supposed to go the other way, and I'm able to sit up here today knowing I was a guy who beat the odds. And
listen to LeBron James. LeBron James.
It's just, you know, you never take for granted the path and the guys who just every single day just struggled in their individual lives and everything they had to go through on a daily basis for us, for a guy like myself. And, yes, I've had some adverse moments in my life, and yes, I've had to deal with a lot of things as a professional, and I've spoken up on a lot of issues that other athletes may not speak upon, but I feel it's my duty to carry on the legacy of the guys who did it before me. I think what's unfortunate sometimes with some of our greats and some of our role models and some of our leaders is that we don't appreciate them until they're gone. And I think that's unfortunate. But I think in Muhammad's case, I hope we was able to appreciate him from the time that he was stepped foot on earth. And along his path, from a kid all the way to a teenager, all the way to an adult, and you know, to a father, and so on and so on. You know, his legacy will obviously live on. And it's funny. Last night we were back at the hotel, and a good friend of mine, or a role model friend of mine, who actually grew up in the same hometown as Muhammad Ali, and kind of around the same age. He put on last night on the TV where we were, The Thriller in Manila, the fight between Ali and Frazier, and it was just an unbelievable pound for pound slugfest, but just two greats, just seizing the opportunity and seizing the moment to be in, to doing what they love to do, and you know, just sent a lot of emotions through all of us, just in that room watching it. And you know, like I said, I had an opportunity to meet him a few times, and for him to be able to fight the disease that he had for so long, I think 3 decades he had that disease for, and still be able to recognize and do the things that he wanted to do and live on, he's a powerful man.
What we are building in the United States of America for our life as Muslims in this country, we are doing it for ourselves, but we are doing it in the spirit of a true Muslim follower of the model man, Muhammad. God wants us to value common origin. It's more important to know that you are human in the mold God creates for you than it is for you to know that you are African, because you were first in the mold of human before you were in the mold of African. He was born of a woman. She had to change his diapers or wipe up behind him the spills that he left. I don't know, that can't be my God. My God is the God of the heavens and the earth, who created everything and never existed in any situation that made him dependent or weak or helpless. We are peacemakers.
Until that,
the ears want to know what's under the picture. Say, okay, eyes, you did pretty good. That's a nice picture. But give me an understanding. That's why the prophet who heard is put over the prophet who was called to duty in the world. Hearing is first, then duty in the world.
How do we know that from the Bible? Samuel. He was called and he heard the Lord. Samuel. Then Samuel passed it on to David. Right? And David became the prophet in the activities of the world. But how did that happen? It had to happen first with one who was able to hear the Lord. And it was Samuel who heard the Lord. What is Sam? Hearing. Arabic. In Hebrew, it's Samuel. But in Arabic, it's Sam. It means hearing. Sam means the power to hear. And Samuel was the power, had the power to hear God. He had the hearing to follow God, to heed God. So he was made a prophet to pass on the blessing to David. He found David in the field. Is that right? And he brought David to David's mission. Right? And David became the worker in the world. Now, we see in the Bible two people. But actually, they represent two movements within one human person. You have to hear first before you know what to do. Now, let's see here. You know, excuse me if I act like this sometimes. But my grandfather, he preached and shouted it for about 40 years. And my mother was a holiness woman who sung spirituals while she was cooking. So I grew up under those influences. And I think that preacher who started preaching as soon as he got off the boat, some of his genes must be in me, because I just can't help it sometimes. I don't know what it is. Now, Bilal was made the first Mu'adhin, right? He was made the first Mu'adhin. What do we have? Udhun. Udhun. Ear. Mu'adhin. He calls to the ears. Adhan. Adhan. The call that goes from the Mu'adhin to the ears. Right? Yes, you who study Arabic, you know. Udhun, ears. Mu'adhin, one who makes the call, he calls Adhan in the ears of the people. Right? Who got that role in religion under Prophet Muhammad? Bilal. What race was he? Did he look more like us or more like somebody else? All right. Good enough for me. So, there are many expressions in the Quran, commands in the Quran. Utlu ila sabilillah, call to the way of Allah. Didn't say adhan. A different word is used for call. Da'wah. You see? Said call to the way of Allah with justice. And it goes on. But here is this, when it mentions siwa and the obligation that is placed on the leaders after Prophet Muhammad to follow his example. That's why that emphasis was on adhan. You see? I call you this way, so you if you follow me, you call the same way. I didn't slight any people. If you say you follow me, then you don't slight any people. You see? So the emphasis is on what Prophet Muhammad did. You want to know what Prophet Muhammad did? Here's what he did. He called the people equally. He didn't slight any race or any class. You see? But the word is Adhan. And then Bilal is called Mu'adhin. So what is this telling us? I'm talking to my folks. I'm talking to those who come to me as a friend, come to me as a follower. They come to me because they love me and they love what I teach. That's who I'm talking to. The rest of you are hearing, that's grace. Now, if Bilal was the one who was given that name, Mu'adhin, that's an indication to the whole world, especially to the Arabs, that you won't be the ones to hear when my community go to sleep. He said, my community is going to sleep. And he told them what's going to bring it to sleep. He said, you are going to get yourselves into the material thing. And it's going to cause you to go to sleep. Yes. Now, who's going to wake them up? Bilal's job was not so much the night prayer. His job was the prayer just before dawn. His job was to come before the sun come up. While the people are in the bed. Inclined to sleep, because that's a good sleep in the morning before dawn. That's the time when you owe your deep in your sleep. You've been doing it, you done got good into it. You have got up a momentum into the sleep. You know. The groove has been set. And before the sunrise now, he gave the role to my forefather to call them up out of their beds and bring them into the light of day. And he gave him the name Mu'adhin. That's not taking anything from the great Khalifas, the rightly guided Khalifas. They acted upon knowledge that Prophet Muhammad had given them, shared with them. And they were able to keep the banner of al-Islam, or the truth of al-Islam, plain and forceful in the world. The Khalifa Abu Bakr, the Khalifa Omar, Ali, and Uthman, and others that followed them, they kept the knowledge up. They kept the knowledge before the people. But soon, the forces of greed began to operate, and Muslims began to break up. Instead of working together as a unified hand, didn't Prophet Muhammad show them a hand? One? That's what he told them. Be as the fingers of the hand. And make one fist. Yes. That's what he told them. And he told them the Muslim is as the body of the human being. It's as one body. If any member of that body is affected, the other members come to its aid. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said. But when our fathers from Africa went to Spain and took the Islamic culture there, did they get help from their Arab brothers? Their Arab brothers pulled against them. That's right. And they pulled against each other. They divided, became divided among themselves as an ummah, and they became divided among themselves on racial lines. after Prophet Muhammad had came already and killed the devil. Allah blessed him to throw the stone of truth and bust the head of Satan. Then they let the same old Satan come back up. Yes. But the indication in Prophet Muhammad picking Bilal is that resurrection will not come from the white. Resurrection will come from the black. Yes. And it has happened. Yes. It has happened. Not all at once. As the sun shineth from the east, even unto the west, come by gradual movement. Little bit, we knew it was coming. That man talked some weird talk, but we knew Elijah had something. It's something is happening. And before Elijah, Drew Ali, our people that heard Drew Ali, they knew he was different. Something is coming. Yeah. And Marcus Garvey. A lot of people don't know that he emphasized God too. And he dressed his women in long dresses and told them to cover their hair. Yes, he did. Marcus Garvey too. We knew something was coming. Yeah. Yeah. And Elijah, man, he was so way out. He was hitting and missing and playing so many notes. He just confounded our senses. And we knew something was coming. That, yeah, something is there. Something is there. There's got to be something in this man. Something was in him. Where is Uddin Muhammad? Yes. I tell you all, I came from about 1,000 years ago. You don't believe it. Allah bring out of the people by gradual pull. He bring out of the people what he wants. Yeah. So we hope to talk on this some more. But let's go to another one. No, pardon me. Let's look at the verses connected with it. Because this is not by itself. This verse is in a verse environment. Praise be to Allah. Let's see. Let's go to the verse before this verse. And the verse before this verse says, verily means without doubt. In the Quran is a message for people who would truly worship Allah. Now let's come to the verse after. We sent you not except as a mercy for all the world. Been sending you to just Arabs. We have sent you as a mercy for all the world. Lil'alamin. And this translator translated for all creatures, which is true. But alim, as it's commonly used, refers to man's world. Human world, you see? So I call you, surely we sent you not, but as a mercy. What is the word mercy? Rahmah, mercy. To all creatures, it says here, or to all the worlds. Let's go up to the verse before the first one I read, verse 106. Let's go to verse 105. It says, before this, we wrote in the Psalms, after the message given to Moses. My servants, the righteous, shall inherit the earth. Now, is this clear enough? No imperialist going to inherit this earth. No white supremacist going to inherit this earth. No racist. Those that are true to their Lord and Creator, they will inherit the earth. That's what it's saying. And the condition down here, I call you all on terms of equality, means that the terms that are needed in order for us to come into this righteousness and accept this equality, we must put down racism and classism and see ourselves as one living unit working for the pleasure of our Lord. Yes. Let's go on now. Let's see what's. Look. The verse that comes after the verse that calls us on terms of equality. It says, it is he, meaning Allah, it is he who knows what is open in speech and what you hide. So we are talking about the need for equality. And it's saying that some people are secretive. Some people are deceitful. They have secrets that they hold over the people's heads. Allah knows it. Let's go on to the next verse now. This is at the end of the chapter. This message is at the end of this chapter, which tells us that the most important thing in this whole chapter is this message of equality. The 111th verse say, I know not, but that it may be a trial for you and a grant of worldly livelihood to you for a time. What is it talking about? It's talking about the blessing, the rahmah, to all the worlds. It mentioned the rahmah, that this is a mercy to all the worlds. It's talking about the rahmah, the mercy to all the worlds. We know not, I know not, but that it may be a trial to you. This mercy, this great message of truth and equality and prosperity for all alike, Prophet Muhammad said, I don't know. He's talking to his own people. So I don't know if this is going to be a trial for you. God had blessed him through revelation, had blessed him to see that his people weren't going to uphold his great example. They were going to gradually let it down. So he said, I don't know if this may be a trial for you. This great responsibility tried his followers to see if they were the excellence of Prophet Muhammad. And they failed the test. They were excellent, but they were not the excellence of the Prophet. They failed the test. Soon they let the evil forces creep back in and destroy the purity and the equality. Let's go on. Say, for a time. What is this referring to? Not only one, rahmah is two. The blessing is two. It's material and then it's spiritual. The material, wasn't it a trial? And then they failed that test? What is the spiritual test in it? The requirement for equality. That requires great moral strength. For you to not to exalt your own self or your own race above others. Right? Yes. So the trial there comes in the message, the blessing, which is the Rahman. And this term is not speaking hanging in space or new term. In fact, the Quran tells us that this is no new put together message. It's a correction and a completion. A correction on those scriptures that were messed up and a completion for the future of the whole humanity. Right? Okay. So let's look to the previous scripture. Says, before that awful and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Is that not right? That's their book, right? Or is he talking about his father? No. It's a type. A type representing what has to come. Okay. What does Elijah represent? He represents a double blessing, yes. He represents interpretation that makes possible the double blessing. The double blessing. And he told Elisha, he said, if you be with me when I'm taking, I'll give you a double portion of my spirit. Is that right? A double portion of my spirit. Meaning not only the spiritual insight, but also the scientific, the rational, material insight. So the Quran brought sciences along with spiritual and moral excellence, didn't it? Yes. Wasn't that a double blessing? Isn't that a double mercy? Some people are grouping those faiths in religion. They group and struggle for understanding, and they are really tortured because they can't find the truth, and they are put into a lot of lies. They live their lives struggling and searching for the light. Didn't they need mercy to understand the spiritual mysteries? Yes. So they needed a portion of God's mercy to come to their spiritual understanding, to give them spiritual insight. But those people working in the ordinary fields over the world, not having the sciences to improve the condition of their material state, didn't they also need a mercy? And didn't it have come as a fact? Isn't it a fact that the Quran came as a double mercy? Yes. And Elijah is a sign of that. That mercy comes by correct interpretation. The truth is here, but it's shrouded. It's sealed. It's covered. It's hidden by the kafirs who have kufr, cover. Yes. Kufr is the disease of the kafirs. Do you know that? Kufr is the disease of the kafirs. And kufr sounds very much like cover. And the Bible says that the cover shall not be long enough. He shall expose the man of sin. Remember what he said? Remember the book says? Yes. The people used to sing, you know, the old folks. They used to sing. Say it's going to be so sharp that when he try to cover his head, his feet gonna show. They try to cover his feet, his head show. Yeah. So you think kufr is a new word. Kufr ain't no new word. It's talking about an old thing. Around here calling Christians the kafirs. You don't know what you're talking about. Christians ain't no kafirs. You might find among them a kafir, but they ain't no kafir any more than you're kafir. Now you go tell the wide-eyed blind sheikh that.